Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome BTech Smith and Steve Metz.
BTech Smith and Steve Metz,
you are now entering the Megacast.
The Megacast.
What's up, Ted?
What up, Steve?
Oh, you sound good. You look good.
Oh, thanks, man.
Feeling good?
Pretty tired, Steve. Did not get a lot of sleep last night.
How you doing, man?
We'll get into that in a TED Talk, but the opposite of what you think why I wasn't sleeping.
All right. Well, I'm thinking that you're partying.
Yeah.
You got people over at your place. You're crushing Coors Lights. You're
probably Miller Lite. You know me.
Oh, that's right. You're crushing Miller Lights. You're watching some English Premier League game.
Yeah, maybe college football.
Could be high school basketball.
Could be anything.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
Hockey, it's about to start.
It is.
Today's day one of the NHL season.
Is it really?
Yep.
Oh, no kidding.
So if you're listening on a Wednesday, yeah. So actually, it all starts tomorrow when the New Jersey Devils start their losing ways.
Do the Caps open up with like the Pens or somebody get their butts whipped?
You know, probably. Yeah, I'm not sure who's... There's four games on dock for tonight, but I'm not sure who the hell's playing.
Do they always start this early?
Yeah, right around the first week of October, because it's right around my birthday, is how I know. So,
well, I saw the NBA started earlier this year.
Yeah, usually they don't start till mid-October, because it's usually hockey first, then the NBA, I believe.
Yeah, and they're already in their preseason. I think their regular season starts in a couple weeks. Did you see the dude last night?
Does it involve NBA?
Yes.
No, I didn't.
He threw like an outlet pass in basketball, right?
Yeah.
Like one end of the court, generally just like a baseball throw, and you chuck it. And I forget the dude's name. He's a European dude. He literally, one dude gets the rebound, tosses it to him. He's still in the lane, you know, like by the basket, and underhands it all the way down the court.
Did it go in?
No.
He passed.
He passed it.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
And then the other dude caught it, stopped, and put it in. I mean, it was a dime, but it was underhand.
That could be his thing, man. Underhand man.
I guess.
Remember when like, you do it, like you try and be like fancy and try to do like underhand? Like you'd think, I could totally nail this shot underhand.
Oh,
and
yeah.
You try underhand, and it's like you have no control over the ball.
Did you ever do the thing with like one hand when you do it underhand and you had to smack it, like you throw it up and then.
No.
Oh, yeah. If you could get that shot to go, you were like, cool.
My thing was always going for the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar hook shot.
Yeah.
Oh, anytime I nailed that hook shot, and sometimes I would get in that good rhythm where I kept nailing them until I moved like an inch over. And then it was like completely starting from scratch all over again.
I mean, the problem I have with you in basketball is the only basketball I've ever seen you play was years ago in Portland on that Papa shot.
That was awesome.
Right. And it was like, he's not missing. So, I mean, I don't know how you are with real basketball, but I'll attend to your skills at Papa shot.
Let's just say if I remember at one point even looking at you going, because we were messed up. We were not.
You were zoned in.
Yeah, I was fully zoned in. And I said, if I could do this while doing this, I could be an NBA player. I was convinced I could go into the NBA if I could go into the NBA under the influence of substances.
What, yeah. Well, all right. You probably heard the story if you listen to the MegaCast. But this was years ago. So Miles Thrill, Steve and I, and Migs and I get on a train, go to Portland.
It's their bachelor party.
This
is so awesome. By the time, my favorite story.
Right. By the time we get to Portland, we're messed up.
Wasted.
So we're walking around the city and stuff, and we go to this Oregon Sports Museum. Which, because we were killing time until we could get in the hotel, right?
Yes. So it's like a sports museum, a Hall of Fame.
It was the Oregon, like, Hall of Fame.
It was like, and it wasn't anything special. It was like an arcade. Like, right. It was like an antique shop meets an arcade.
Right. There was nothing really going on. But in the bottom of this museum, they had ping pong and a Papa shot.
Yep.
So if I remember correctly, I think Thrill and I are playing ping pong. I think Miles is, like, refereeing that.
Yep.
So we're playing, but in the corner, you just keep hearing ding. Ding, 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 ding. And I'm not kidding, folks. And like we turn around and it's just Steve. I mean, you must have ripped off like 15 in a row or something.
Like for
crazy.
A solid couple of minutes, I had not missed a shot.
Right.
Because so like, you guys are coming over. There's like a family watching me and I'm having conversations with you guys like, hey, Ted, I'm really good at this. And I'm just ding, ding. I'm not even looking.
I know.
I figured out the exact hand placement and the right trajectory of the ball, and I didn't even have to look. I was like, ding, ding. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I could go pro, Ted. And you're laughing. Miles and Thrill are like in awe. This family's like, what the hell is this guy doing?
Yeah, those little kids thought you were the greatest athlete they had seen.
Right. If they were to see me in actually a gym where there's an actual basketball court with other people who are talented, they would realize I am far from that.
And I don't even think about this part of the story, but you had to be plus, what, 70, 80 pounds at the time?
Yeah, I was really fat and wasted.
That's almost even funnier that you looked out of shape and you're just like, ding, thing.
The dad's probably like, oh, look at that. And kids, that's what happens when you let yourself go. This young man probably could have been a pro, but he lost all sense of willpower. Ding.
Ding.
It was awesome, dude.
It was.
Why don't we get our heart rates and our blood pumping and our brain
functioning?
We're going to get 10. And this time around, Ted, I decided to be selfish and pick the song that I wanted to play because, well, I don't know if you heard the news, but your boy, Steve Miggs, is the new drummer for Stone Temple Pilots.
Oh, I did not.
Oh, man. I can't wait to share that story with you. So in order to get ready for
it. You kicked out one of the DeLeo?
No, the DeLeo brothers are still in the band, and actually their drummer's still in the band, but for a brief period of time, your boy is the drummer for Stone Temple Pilots.
Love it.
I'll explain it to you in a second, but I figure... Oh, great, wrong one.
Oh,
stop, no! Wrong
it's
one.
It's one job drumming, and now he's messing up the show.
There we go. Let's get 10 Mega Family to sex type thing.
Here we go. One... 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
I love this song.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I've heard this song a million times and still like it.
It's still such a badass song.
Yeah.
It's the song that first turned me on to Stone Temple Pilots.
Man, they were always good.
Oh, especially for this record. Core, they just put it out on Friday.
All right.
A 25-year anniversary reissue of this record. 25 years ago this album came out, man.
Ah, I feel old.
Right? I know we talked about that this morning.
Damn, that 25 years ago?
25 years ago that album came out. And we mentioned that this morning, and a few people texted in going, thanks, Migs. I'm officially old.
Yeah. Like, my mom was like, I'm going to the 20th anniversary of, like, what was it, like, Camden Yards opening. I was like, there's no way it's been open for 20 years.
Right.
Like, oh, no, it has.
Safeco. I mean, Safeco was 2001? That's nuts. It still feels like a brand new stadium.
Yeah. And still no playoffs.
Still no playoffs.
Ted Talks. Starring B-Tech Smith.
Sorry, words have never been spoken.
Sorry, Mariners fans. I tell you what, man. I like them, though. It's a dedicated group.
All 1,500 of you.
Right.
There too, man. It's heartbreaking every year.
I just have some friends that every year, every spring, this is the year. You know, like...
That's me!
Yeah, like, they're at least going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
I was convinced.
Yeah.
Felix ain't getting any younger.
All right, so TED Talk. I think in the wake of all the tragedy over the weekend and this and that, oftentimes you'll see this word self-care, right? And it's a great word, you know, kind of take care of yourself, do something to make yourself happy or whatever. But also, and again, most of these are personal experience, like I'm going through something that I do for self-care. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I hate it. That's like, it's like, yeah, I'm just tired as I haven't been sleeping, haven't had a drink in a few days, like, I'm just dying. Right? But it's like, all right, but after I get through these 2 weeks, I'll be much better off.
I just need some booze so I can sleep.
Yeah, I know.
Just,
it sounds so,
just a nip.
Sounds so degenerate.
Just a little nip.
Just right. Let me take one little pull off that fireball. Little fireball. Just a little fireball.
A half of a shot doesn't count. I'm not even going to be drunk.
But so sometimes self-care, too, is not the easy stuff you want to do, but it'll make you feel better, so do it.
It's like going to the gym, man.
Going to the gym or eating the right thing.
I mean, that's the one nice thing now about being here at the radio station that we're at. We have a gym downstairs, so every time I'm like, eh, I know it's I'm right next to the gym when I'm going, eh. And I know my gym bag's in my car. Fine. At least let me just get at least 15 minutes in. Then next, you know, I put on like some wrestling show and it's an hour later and I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah.
But it's, I don't think I've ever been like, yes, I'm going to the gym right now, Ted. It's going to be awesome. Or yes, I'm going to eat some salad like I had right before I saw you today.
Yeah.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, I was pumped last night, man. Eating broccoli with pepper.
Dude, last night I got a freaking king's meal.
I know. What was your birthday?
It was my birthday.
That's fair.
So I got home, took a nap, woke up. Wife surprised me with a few things.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Wah, wah, wah.
Size does matter, bitch!
Come on, Steiner. I don't need you telling me that.
I used that hashtag last night on Instagram.
Size does matter, bitch.
Well, I didn't put in the bitch part.
Yeah.
But I have that giant chair, so just...
I saw that. That was a great picture.
That's why I was like, hashtag size does matter. Side note, like, literally, I kid you not, I was up till, like, 4 last night doing nothing. But I wake up at, like, 3, I'm like, well, I gotta pee, because I've been crushing soda water. It's like a champ.
Right.
And I look at my Instagram, and it's like, somebody, you know, like, you got a new thing. And I'm like, who is liking a picture of me in a giant chair at 3 a.m.?
It was me.
Right, that was like, oh, it's Steve. He's just up going to work.
I know, it's always funny. Like, I'll correspond with a lot of people between the window of 2:30 in the morning and 3 in the morning when I wake up. Like, sometimes I'll get, like, snaps on my Snapchat, and somebody will write something like, blah, 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 happy birthday. And I'm like, I don't know how people use their phone. Like, do their notifications wake them up? Because all of my notifications on my phone are off. The only notifications I have are texts and calls. But, like, any email, I never know until I check my phone. Twitter, Facebook, none of those. I don't see any alerts until I go on the actual app, and then I'll see the alerts.
Right.
But I'm always afraid that if I reply to someone at 2:30 in the morning, hey, thanks for wishing me a happy birthday, will that wake them up? Are there alerts? Oh. You know what I mean?
I assume everybody puts their phone on silent at night.
I don't know. I have no idea. So I'm always worried about that. But then if I don't respond right away, I'll forget to. So it's like this weird thing that I'm like, well, do I write them back and potentially wake up this person just to tell them thanks for wishing me a happy birthday?
I say you do.
I did.
Well, they sent it to you when you were asleep.
That's right.
Yeah.
They earned it.
You know what? Happy birthday.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, dude.
Yeah. Thanks for nothing.
At 2 in the morning.
I'm on to you. You should respect my schedule. So anyways,
So the wife had some nice stuff?
Yeah, she had some great stuff. Woke up to her. I'm like, what the hell is going on? It's like 5 in the evening. And I know typically on Tuesdays, she goes to the gym after she finishes her work, goes to the gym. She goes to the gym like every day. She's a workaholic.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
I think she takes like Thursdays and Fridays off and that's it.
I respect that.
Yeah. So I'm like, what the hell? Who's opening up our garage? Lulu's barking. Door opens, and it's my wife at 5 p.m. She's like, I figured I'd, want to spend more time with you. It's your birthday. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
And then she pulls out of her hand. She's got a bag filled with sushi.
Nice.
She went into one of our sushi joints that we go to. Shout out to Sushi Ari in Puyallup.
Ari.
Dude, it's funny. Like, we order from there, and we don't eat there, like, every day or even every week. You know, we mix it up. We go to Trapper sometimes. But the Sushi Ari one is super close to our house, so sometimes patience is not of the virtue, and you just want to get your food.
It's just right there.
But when we called, the lady that works there, she's like, I think because I order the same thing every time, she knows who I am. And it's always funny because I'll be like, I like this, the heart attack roll. And then she'll go, is this my Steve?
Oh, that's awesome.
It's so awesome. She's such a sweetheart of a lady. And I'm like, yes. And she's like, you want your salmon nigiri too? And I'm like, yes. You want edamame too? Like, as soon as I say the first two rolls, she knows the rest of the order.
All right. I got to ask, what is this heart attack roll?
Oh, it's just like, I have to show you a picture of it. It's just, it's nothing crazy. It's got like a jalapeno on it, so it's kind of spicy.
All right.
But it's really good.
All right.
It's got like spicy tuna, jalapeno, avocado, rice, the usual.
All right.
So anyways, I come home, got that. I'm like, yes. You know, it's not often that I get to eat a non-vegan meal during the week.
And at the house.
At the house. Right. So I'm pumped. She's got Diet Cokes too. So this is like, rolling out the red carpet.
All right. Another question.
Yes.
Do you eat at the table or are you just eating in the living room chilling?
No, when it comes to sushi, any other meal that we get to go orders, we'll sit on the couch and eat. But with sushi, it's a pain in the ass to eat on the couch that way.
It is. So you got to lean over.
Yeah, so we sit on the bar.
Oh, nice.
Right between the kitchen. You've been to our house.
Yeah.
And everyone here that's listening has been to my house.
They've been there.
You know what I'm talking
sitting
about.
Sitting at the bar.
The bar with the stools.
With the island.
Yeah, exactly. Lulu's sitting down there hoping that we'll drop something. It's great. So then I'll open up the card. I'm such a manopause. Like emotional guy. She writes a nice heartfelt
manopause.
I call it manopause because I'll cry at a moment's notice when anything emotional.
All right. I hadn't heard that term yet.
Yeah, that's what I call it. I always say like if like something gets me emotional, like I watch a TV show and there's like a dad walking his kid to like a baseball practice and I'll like start getting teary eyed. I'm like, damn it, I'm suffering from manopause.
That's pretty good.
And read the card. It's like nice and says nice things about me. And I start getting all teary eyed. That she finds great joy in that.
Like
that makes her laugh. Like, I think she's now writing nice notes in my card, not because she actually believes in it, but because she knows it's going to...
She wants to see you cry.
Yeah, she wants to make this man cry.
Yeah.
So I get a little teary-eyed.
And make Lulu lick the tears.
Yes, the tears of joy. Open up the... She got me a little gift and got me some new workout gear.
Nice.
Cool. And she got me this shirt.
Oh, no kidding. Yep. I was about to say, man, I love those shirts.
Yeah, the Bullet Club, but it's a spoof on the Bullet Club. It's called Villain Club. It's a member of the Bullet Club, Marty Scurll.
All right.
And Marty, he has an umbrella. He's known as the villain.
Yeah.
He's awesome. You'd love Marty. Marty's got great ring intro, and the crowd gets into it. Like, they go, whoop, whoop. It's fun.
All right. Are they juggalos?
No. Right. But he has a similar juggalo call. That's impressive.
Isn't that what they do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Anyways, it was a great birthday, but that was a very good birthday present, but her birthday gift didn't come anywhere near the present that that Dean DeLeo and Eric Kretz from Stone Temple Pilots gave me, and that is the gift of me being in their band.
Nice.
When we get back, I'll tell you what happened, BJ.
All right.
BJ.
Oh, thanks.
Called you by the wrong person.
Thanks, STP.
Oh, you dick. STP the band tonight.
Yeah.
Don't be down. Tech and Steve will return. The Megacast will be back.
You don't have to go to your pharmacy or doctor's office to get a vaccine in your arm to prevent influenza. Coming soon to a bar near you. Flu shots. Try the B52 strains of virus shot.
Made with Irish cream, Kahlua, Grand Marnier, and Robitussin.
Or the hot damn, I have a fever.
Whiskey, rum, vodka, orange juice, and Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Or the kamikaze, sweaty, sneezy, sleepy shots you can rest medicine.
Vodka, orange liqueur, a dash of lime juice, and NyQuil.
So this weekend when you're out on the town, tilt your head back and slam a couple of ounces and be prepared for the cold and flu season.
Ask your bartender if flu shots are right for you.
These guys never tricked on a hole in a paper hut, but they have tricked on mushrooms in San Francisco. The Megacast is back.
We did. Yeah. That was a good time. That's still one of my favorites. It's out there if you go to the podcast, one of the earlier episodes, like episode 30 or 44 or something like that.
Yeah.
The one that I'm on, we go full into detail on the podcast about our trip, both in a mental and also a physical way, when we went to San Francisco.
I mean, that legit is still probably one of the crazier party nights of my life.
That's the story when somebody says, hey, tell me like the craziest thing you've ever done or something along those lines. It's like, oh, doing mushrooms in San Francisco, going through one of the worst parts of town in a quest to find marijuana with E. Ted Smith was right up there as one of the craziest things I've ever done.
Yeah, like there's a show on Viceland that just has celebrities that tell like a crazy party story. It's called like Party Legends or something. And that I always watch that show and go, what's, because I got a lot of stories, but I was like, Steve and I in San Francisco, the altercation with the homeless dude. Dude, I just told this story Saturday, and somebody was like, that sounds kind of dangerous, man.
It was.
And I go, you know, right. It is. It was. I go, we were having a blast.
We were having fun the whole time. Now, the third wheel, the person that was kind of like our San Francisco tour guide, was completely terrified. I don't know if we'll ever speak to that person again.
I have never heard from him again.
I wish we could, in a way, just to get his perspective of that night. Like, I would love to be a fly on the wall when he tells his account of that night to people, because it involves two guys that are messed up, trying to find weed on a rainy night in the Tenderloin District.
Correct.
An incident with the homeless person.
Right.
An incident where I walk in on gay guys going at it in the bathroom. Us unapologetically flirting with girls with their boyfriends right in front of them.
Correct.
Massive amounts of shots of Jaeger bombs. And Jägermeister.
Right. Remember and Jack in the Box? And like, I don't know what time.
Or was it In-N-Out?
No, we went to In-N-Out the next night.
All right, you're right, Jack in the Box. Yep. So needless to say, and that's a very short version of a long story. If you can find that episode, I still contend that that could be animated into like an awesome cartoon.
100%.
Yeah.
That's exactly whenever I tell that story, I just picture a cartoon version of us running around. And we can't end that story without always saying, Steve peeing on a city official's car saying, we own this city.
I forgot that. You're right.
I mean, the only thing I would ever say in our defense of that story is I'm pretty sure
we were on mushrooms.
Well, and I was going to say, I think I was still in a bad spot after like that first breakup.
Yes.
And then I think you were just dating a crazy person.
Yes.
So, I mean, I think we both had a little steam to blow off.
Yes. We needed a release and we let go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. We almost got killed by a homeless man. And then I pissed on a policeman's car.
Yes. Right? I mean, even read any part of that story, any three parts of that story. Like, tried to cop drugs in the Tenderloin.
Yeah.
Just weed, but that sounds scary.
Smuggling mushrooms in my pocket on an airplane.
Right.
Also kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Peeing on cop cars, buying weed off random dudes. And I mean,
hitting on chicks while their boyfriends are there.
Oh, my God. Right? Like, that probably might have been the most dangerous thing we did.
Right. So, like I said yesterday, I received the ultimate. Oh, you know what? Before we get to that, would you like to hear the voicemail that my parents left me?
Oh, 100%.
All right. It is incredible. I haven't even put this. This is an exclusive. We haven't even put this on BJ and Migs because we have kept last year's birthday song that they sang me on voicemail. And now anyone who ever says it's their birthday, we play that as like how right. You on the Men's Room have the birthday song. We have my mom and dad singing people birthday greetings. And so whenever they say my name, we lower it and say the person's name. And it's a lot of fun.
All right.
So this is my parents' voicemail that they left me. And I typically, for a while, I was purposely not answering their calls so that I could get a voicemail out of them. But then they were on to me. And I think realized that I was putting those things on the air. They stopped leaving me voicemails.
All right.
So they would call but not leave voicemails. But this time around, I fell asleep. I didn't answer. But they left me a voicemail, and I'm sure they're going to regret doing that because, well, it's going to live on forever, and it's
nice. Fantastic.
So here we go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Wishing you a
birthday
to Steven.
Mommy and I got to coordinate this song.
Happy
All right. I'm glad he said it because I was like, they didn't practice.
How did she forget the song?
Is your mom just adding lyrics? I thought maybe that was
I think mom's adding extra like nips of Jack Daniels.
All right. I thought maybe this was like the Brooklyn remix of the birthday song.
The remix.
Yeah.
Bloop, bloop.
To you. Wishing you birthday to Steven.
Mommy and I got to coordinate this song.
Happy, happy birthday to you. Very special year for you, I hope, and everything goes your way. We'll try you again. We know it's only four something there, but we'll try you again.
That is so awesome.
I love my mom. My mom's the greatest.
She put in new words, wishing you birthday.
Wait, we got to go back and hear that part. That was great.
Year for you, I hope.
All right.
And everything goes. Happy birthday to you. A very special year for you, I hope.
I hope.
Oh, I love that your parents are like a walking stereotype of New Yorkers.
They are.
Right?
They're just retired in New Jersey, hanging out, being still Brooklyn people.
Yeah, like I legit picture your mom being like, go get a chocolate babka.
Yeah.
Everything goes your way. We'll try you again. We know it's only four something there, but we'll try you again before, I guess, you go to bed about 8. So we'll try to call you well before that, so you won't be sleeping. And we wish you many, many more happy ones, and you make us very, very proud, both of you. And we love you very, very much. Hugs and kisses.
Now here, just as a preface, my mom's about to drop some a great troll move on her part to my wife. Because my mom, since the day I was a child.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I just... So also, I just did the math. So if they called you at 4:30, you're right. That's 7:30. That's prime time after happy hour.
Right, right. Yeah, they've had a couple of drinks.
Had a couple pops.
Mom's good. Well, here's the thing. So my mom and my wife have a fun little, like, you know, give and take. Like, it's nothing negative or anything like that. But my mom, since there's a child, has always referred to me as the apple of her eye, her little angel. I can do no wrong. And she's right. I am the apple of her eye. I am an angel, and I can do no wrong.
That's the best.
Right, exactly. Ted knows.
Yeah, man.
He recognizes. Real recognizes real.
Yeah.
Huh. So anyways, my wife is always like, no, your son is not that, blah, 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 you know.
All right.
And so now my wife, my mom is constantly like throwing little digs, like, no, my son is perfect. Don't try and tell me otherwise.
Well, they got to have a little competition. They're the two women in your life.
Right. The two most important people in my life.
Yeah.
So, and Lulu. So they're the second and the third most important people in my life, because Lulu clearly is number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know that. So here, this is the best part of the whole call.
Very much. Hugs and kisses. To my baby, the angel, I have to say it. I'm sorry, Cindy. You'll always be my angel. I love you. I love you. I hope you got your card. I mailed it at least 4 or 5 days ago.
So
look in your mailbox.
It's not there.
I love you. Bye-bye.
One time I got a Christmas card in July from my parents. Not joking.
Did I tell you what my mom did recently?
What's that?
About the gift?
No.
So my buddy Ben Dragovan.
Yeah.
His parents are having this 50th wedding anniversary, right?
Right.
So I've spent, you know, Thanksgivings up there. My mom's come with me. So she knows Ben's parents pretty well. So she really likes them. So my mom's kind of the same way. I love my mom to death. And I can be bad at this stuff too. But she is late with everything.
Yeah.
Like the gifts show up late. And it's fine. You know, like at this point, like I don't really give a crap. So
me neither. I hear you.
Right. So with the Dragovan, she likes them so much.
With the Dragovan.
Right. She orders this gift and is fired up about it. To the point of like, the week and a half before, and she sends it like 2.5 weeks early. So like a week and a half leading up to this party, every day, you know, did they get the gift? Did they get the, so finally I talked to Drago and he goes, I'm sure they got it. Just tell her they got it.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, all right, mom, they got the gift, whatever.
Uh-oh.
No, it's even worse.
Okay.
So I show up kind of late to the party, walk in the backyard. Everybody's
it's
already.
It's the first time anyone's ever used that term and actually meant it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? You're always like, it could be talking about like the latest trend. Well, I guess I'm late to the party. Ted was actually legitimately late to the party.
Right. So it's in their backyard. Awesome. It's up in Monroe. It's a great backyard. So I walk in, right?
It's the best backyard ever.
The best backyard ever. So, like, I see a lot of people I know, right?
Lots of paper towels in that backyard.
Yeah, I give him credit. He had good follow through. So I walk in, right? Now, Benny and his brothers are... Drago's another youngest, too. Mm-hmm. They're hosting the party. So I see Benny, but I'm like, I'm not going to go bug him right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm just making a beeline for the one dude I for sure know, and I'm going to go talk to him.
Yeah, safety blanket.
Right, out of nowhere, I just hear, Ted, you son of a bitch. And I turn around, and there's Benny's brother, Aaron. And he goes, you got my parents the same damn gift I did. And I'm like, ah.
What are the odds?
Right? And it's like this ridiculous specific gift where you can get a print of the day the couple was married. And it has like things from the newspaper that day and how much gas was.
Those are fun. I like those.
Yeah. But he's just like, you son of a bitch. And I go, Aaron, look, I had nothing to do with it. And then it's just like on top of this, my mom never sends a gift early. She's been bugging me about it. And it was the same gift the son got.
He's like, you son of a bitch.
Literally, I walked in, Dad, you son of a bitch. And I was like, what?
What did I do now?
And honestly, I was like, am I that late? Like, right. I thought it was around 3.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's hilarious.
Yeah, at least my mom sprung for the frame there, Aaron.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, shots fired, dude.
That's right. The youngest child would have done it right.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows. I bet most of the people who listen to this podcast are the youngest kid.
Best kids.
Yeah, they are.
Last year, my cousin Dan's wedding, he's the youngest, so it's kind of a joke within the Smith family. So Dan, me, my cousin Kelly, because she's the youngest in her family, and then my uncle Phil, because he's the youngest out of his brothers. I was like, we got to get a picture, just the youngest.
The youngest, yeah. Team youngest.
Team youngest.
I mean, I think my mom would say this about you guys as well.
And we love you very, very much. Hugs and kisses. To my baby, the angel, I have to say it. I'm sorry, Cindy.
That's right,
you'll
Cindy.
You'll always be my angel.
I am. Just remember that.
Yeah. I know. It sounds like almost like it was going to be something mean. I'm sorry, Sydney.
Yeah. Hate to break it to you. He's the best. You married the best. When are you going to realize it?
You can borrow him, but he's ours.
Yeah. You get him temporary, but when he comes home, he gets to eat all the pizza and all the lobster he wants. Hugs and kisses. All right, when we get back.
All right. Oh, we're right. You're a drummer for Stone Temple Pilots.
I am. Talk about making people wait.
Jesus Christ.
We're the worst.
This is the tease of the year right
tease
here.
Tease of the century.
And half these people already heard it on the Mixcast.
Or read it on my blog today. Or heard it on BJ and Migs this morning. Everybody knows it except for you, Ted.
Me? I bet my cousin Patrick hasn't heard it.
Patrick, we're doing it for you.
Yeah, man.
Is he the youngest?
No, he's the oldest, but he's all right.
All right, fine. I guess we'll still do it.
He is a very faithful MegaCast listener, though.
Well, Patrick, my mom has this to say about you.
Many more happy ones, and you make us very, very proud, both of you. And we love you very, very much. Hugs and kisses.
That's for you, Patrick. When the MegaCast returns.
I hope he's on a plane when he hears that.
Ted and Steve are my blood feathers. Whatever the f*** that means. The MegaCast will be back.
Now showing a remake of Flatliners, a movie from 1990, still in theaters. It, which was a made-for-TV movie in 1990. And coming soon, a new Blade Runner sequel. The original was from 1982. This message brought to you by Hollywood, remaking everything new again. Oh, and coming soon, Thelma and Louise 2. Spoiler, they had parachutes.
These guys give me they big O. The MegaCast is back.
I had me a boy, turned him into a man. I showed him all the things that he didn't understand. Whoa. Then I let him go. One, two, three, they gonna run. I'm the best baby that they never gotta keep. One, two, three, they gonna run back to me. They always wanna come, but they never wanna leave.
Rob Schneider's daughter.
I always liked this song. I never listened to the lyrics.
Yeah.
Huh, all right.
It's a great song.
It is. I didn't know that's what she was talking about.
Elle King, Rob Schneider's daughter. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, Rob Schneider is one of those sneaky guys you kind of forget about.
Yeah, he's a weird dude. We've had him on the show in the morning.
Oh, in person?
Yeah, I mean, he's nice. Like, some people like to dog on the dude, and I've heard other morning shows have had issues with him. I liked him. He just kind of comes in with a weird hippie entourage, and he comes in with his own, like, little tea maker, and it's just, it's awkward, because it's...
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of being weird hippy-dippy dude. But then once he gets going, he's great. Nice guy. And his daughter's super talented, man. I freaking love it.
Yeah. And it's funny, too, right? Because, like, I don't know. If an athlete came in with, like, a specific thing that, like, they drank or whatever, I don't think you'd give it two thoughts. But you're right. For, like, a comedian, it's like, what's with this guy?
What if we started doing that? Anytime, like, we get asked, like, sometimes we've been asked to be on certain podcasts or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe if we just show up with, like, our own, like, weird, like just grape Fanta.
Oh,
just walk
Steve,
in.
I love grape soda. I'm 100% in.
Okay. This is why you and I do the MegaCast.
Yeah.
We both love grape soda.
I'm That's horrible.
I like Welch's grape soda personally, but Fanta's good.
I mean, what's it? Cheese eggs, or T-bone steak, cheese eggs, and Welch's grape?
Yes. Wouldn't that be great if we should start coming to parties with like a six-pack of grape soda.
I'm in.
Or a two-liter
bottle. All those parties
bottle.
Me and you go to on the weekends.
You know, now we got to start going to parties.
Like, when's the last time me and you went to a party?
Where we showed up to someone else's party.
Right, because we generally go to, like, events.
I have no
idea. One of us is hosting, or right. It's like a trip to...
A festival,
or, I mean, the annual bachelor party trip that we call hockey.
Yeah, the Donkey Spokane Classic Weekend. The other party is just the slumber party at my house, but that's like a party of four, including Lulu. Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe we need to start going to people's house parties.
Yeah. Well, also, you know...
I wish I had the time. How fun would it be? And I know both of us are busy, and it would be... But wouldn't it be great if we, like, made a call out, anyone who has house parties that listens to the podcast, let us know when they are, and we'll just start calling to them, and maybe like bring like a film crew. That would be an awesome thing.
It would be.
I mean, timing. I'd have to. My wife would have to. I would be divorced.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already busy enough doing things. I know you're doing things all the time as well. But that would be really fun. I wish there was more time in the week.
Yeah, I just keep thinking like it'd be awesome, and people are like, this is crazy. Steve and Ted are coming.
Yeah.
And then like 4 hours later, it'd be like, is that Ted guy leaving?
Yeah. Like, they've been drinking all of our beer. They only showed up with grape soda.
Right.
Nobody wants the grape soda except for them.
Right. Ted smoked a lot of our weed.
Right. Steve yelled at someone for even taking a sip of one of the grape sodas. I don't know what to do. And he's yelling for beef jerky. And we don't have any beef jerky.
Yeah, and Ted keeps demanding seafood. Like, what kind of party do they think this was? Where are the shrimp?
You guys have the worst hors d'oeuvres ever.
I was promised shrimp. Honestly, after listening to this podcast and the story in the first segment, why would anybody invite us to their home?
It's a good point. We're uninvitable.
Yeah. I mean, this story was almost 10 years ago, but it's the truth. Like, if I listen to that, I'm like, there's no chance those idiots are coming to my home.
Right.
And I don't even want to know what's actually in their grape soda.
Right. And why are they so protective of it? Look, people. You might not think we're really good to be at a house party, but that's fine. You know what I know is that one person believes in us, mm-hmm. and that person is my mother.
And you make us very, very proud, both of you.
Thank you.
And thank
we
you.
Love you very, very much.
You should.
Hugs and kisses. To my baby, the angel.
That's right. The angels. The angels.
Angels.
That's us. If you want the angels to come to your house party, let us know how much you're willing to pay for us.
Yeah, and I'm not going to say Steve and I are angels, but I've seen him just pick up a halo, not even using his hand. He just kind of, it just came to him.
Like a magnet.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't see our halos all the time. They're on, folks.
Trust us. With the right lighting, you can.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the birthday gift that I got from Stone Temple Pilots.
All right.
Oh, we ran out of time. We'll be back next week. I'll tell you all about it. So we had,
All right, sorry. Now I'm just picturing us at Meltdown next year and somebody being like, you know what, man? I can see your halo.
Okay, so we're going to have a cupcake day at Summer Meltdown next year.
Cupcake Girl is in.
Cupcake Girl is in.
Yes.
A.K.A. Taryn Daly.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, the other day we should be halos.
Should we just dress up as angels?
Yes.
And just walk around in white sheets with cheesy little halos?
And we should do that the day that we go to the river and have like little like Speedos underneath it so we could go into the water in these outfits.
Yeah, we should baptize people.
With cupcakes.
Right? We baptize you.
Oh my God.
And then Taryn hands you a cupcake.
The cupcake baptism.
Oh, dude, we could totally do that.
This is great.
Yeah.
I'm in. You know, even if I had the stupid morning convention, I'm skipping it now.
Yes.
The cupcake baptism is worth skipping anything for.
Yeah. And we got to go like a little bit farther down the river. So like it starts like, dude,
I
heard
for it.
Heard there's two angels down there baptizing people and you get a cupcake.
And I'll bring my big speaker thing and we'll just play like angelic music. Like,
oh yeah. Oh yeah. So when somebody just like turns a corner, just like, what is going on down here?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll get MCTP in his gold Speedo, put some wings on him.
Yes. And we need the golden swan.
Oh yeah.
How about that's the only way they could come to us? They have to get on the golden swan.
Somebody has to push them down the river.
Yes.
And then they get down there, and there's like 20 of us like, come get baptized.
Yeah, what kind of cupcake you want? You want chocolate, vanilla, or peanut butter?
We should find the most messed up person in our group and randomly have them halfway with just a sign that says baptisms.
Yes. And they do the sign flippy thing like you see on the side of the road.
Yes.
People throw it up in the air and they catch it. Cupcake baptisms.
Mm.
In. You know what else I'm in for? And that's playing drums with Stone Temple Pilots, Ted. So we had on the Migs cast, we had Dean DeLeo.
I don't even want to interrupt you now.
I know. I don't even think I can get to it. We have Dean DeLeo, Eric Kretz from Stone Temple Pilots on the show. While we were talking to them, Glenn was geeking out about guitar stuff. I was mentioning to Eric how awesome of a drummer he is, and how I just love his style, how he just beats the drums. He's got a great, the rhythm section's phenomenal, and it's all heartfelt. And we mentioned that we have a band together, this band that's called Bruiser Brody, and currently got back the masters of the EP, and man, I'm so pumped to get you a copy of this.
All right.
One of the songs, I'll have to play it for you at some point. It sounds just, it has a very Stone Temple Pilots-esque vibe to it.
All right.
And I geek out about that moment because of the fact that it has a early era Stone Temple Pilots, like the core days. So I mentioned that to those guys. And then they just give us an invitation to join the band when they come to town.
Awesome.
So here's the audio. Glenn and I, we have a band together. We just started up together. And what geeks me out the most is there's moments where I'm like, man, this just feels like core era Stone Temple Pilots. And that gets me.
All right. Are you guys guitar and drums?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to tell you guys something. And you can take me up on this. And I'm going to come right out with this. When we come to town, you guys pick out a song. And you come up and play it.
Oh, I'm in. I'm in.
Awesome.
Dude, at this point, Ted, Glenn and I are looking at each other like, because I thought they were going to say, hey, when we come to town, you could come on our bus and we'll listen to your band. Or something like, cool, but not, hey, you can come on stage and play with Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, that's insane.
Right? So here it continues.
Wow, that would be fantastic, dude.
Eric and I will step down.
You got it.
And you guys can...
not like, along with us. Like, legit.
Like,
you and Glenn are going to do the parts.
We're replacing the guitarist and the drummer of Stone Temple Pilots for a song.
Holy crap, that would be awesome.
Right. All right, so here it continues.
Get out. Eric had the fortune of, wait, when was that? 293?
That was early in 93. We did a show in New York. We did two shows at the Roseland Ballroom in New York. And I was just telling the band, like, a week prior to that, like, man, I would just die to see what we look like and sound like on stage live. Because we're playing six, 7 nights a week. And our buddy Josh Fries was in town. And so he was side stage. I'm like, Josh, can you play a song? I just got to see it. So he's like, yeah, sure. So he banged on Sex Type Thing.
Now, Josh Fries plays with, like, A Perfect Circle. He's been in a band called The Vandals. He played with Weezer for a minute. The guy's an incredible drummer. So he has very high expectations that I will sorely disappoint him if he's expecting Josh Fries on the drums. But still.
You get it.
Oh, dude, the minute, now, yeah, I'm going to start, once we figure out which song we're going to do, I'm going to be practicing until the day they come to town. And rumor has it they'll be here in the summer.
I have never been to a Peter Parker show. I've never been to a show where you're in a band where somebody hasn't been like, God damn, Steve's a great drummer.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That means a lot. And I hope that continues at the Stone Temple. The last place I want me to crash and burn would be playing drums with Stone Temple Pilots.
Right.
That would suck.
You're a little slow.
Yeah. Or I drop a stick and I can't find another one.
I run through.
Kretz, run
through the audience.
The crowd goes out in front of house.
All of Atlantic Records is there. They're all excited. And just the look on their faces, I run by like, what the fuck? You're supposed to be on stage. And I just run to the soundboard, and I just stand there and just watch it. And it was like, holy crap, this is really good.
Oh, that's cool.
It was just great, man.
Oh, that's awesome, man.
So you guys have to now allow me to go do that. Counting on you, you're going to come up, you're going to grab guitar and drums, and I'm going to get to run out the front of the house and be like, oh, far out, man. Yeah.
That would be beyond an honor.
Dude, you have no idea. That would be the ultimate. That wouldn't even be on my bucket list because that never happened. So, yes, 100%. If that could happen, that'd be so insane.
When we get up there, man, please, you guys come by and we'll hang out and we'll just get wacky with guitars and you guys can play. You guys want to pick a song, rehearse it, and you guys can rock it.
You got to do that.
Oh, dude, yeah.
Yeah, you got to hold him.
The minute we hung up on the phone and we had to bleep Glenn because he forgot that we were doing a podcast, and I can understand why. He goes, we need to pick a song that we can absolutely effing nail.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, of course we do. Like, and so I talked to Castle, who set up the interview.
Yeah.
And I was telling him about it. He goes, yeah, man, their management guy was talking with him. I'm like, so were they cool with the interview? Did they have a good time? And the guy goes, yeah, they loved it. And apparently two of your guys are playing with them when we come to Seattle, huh? So, like,
they had already told the manager?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes. Like, this is legit going to happen.
And when are they supposed to come around again?
Sometime in the summer.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, hopefully there's rumors, and I mean, it would be really cool if it happens, but sometime in the summer is what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And man, oh man, that would be epic.
Yeah.
Gosh.
That would be unbelievable.
I'm leaning towards sex type thing. I feel like that's the song that turned me on to Stone Temple Pilots. It's a powerful as F song. I know I could play it, especially if I practice it a bunch. And I think the crowd's going to go nuts because it's like one of their big hits.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to let us have any song that we could pick any song, I'm not going to get all weird and go with like a weird B-side. I'm going with like the hit.
I like that.
Right.
Well, let's play your hit.
Yeah. Like, I know. I get it. It might be your encore. It might be the last song on your set. You told us we could pick any song, and I'm picking that one.
Now, that would be unbelievable. They do an encore,
and we're the last.
And you're the last. You're the last guy. Then you get to throw out the sticks.
Throw out the sticks, and then I go, "Let's go, come on!" And I get them all together to do a bow.
Do a bow.
Yes. It's all me. All me. Stone Temple Pilots.
And then you got to hop in. I mean, I don't know how big of a show they're playing, but usually they have like those meet and greets.
Yep.
Like, you got to hop in that too and start taking pictures with people.
Absolutely. Signing autographs.
Signing autographs.
Who you want me to make this out to? I actually don't want you to make it out to anyone. I don't want your autograph. Oh, okay. I don't know if I can spell all that. I'll just say, have a nice day, huh?
Best wishes.
Best wishes. I'm the youngest. My mom loves me. All right, Ted.
Dude. I mean, that would be weird to write on somebody's shirt. That would also be awesome.
My mom loves me.
Steve, can I get your autograph? Like, if it's on their back. Steve Miggs. I'm the youngest. My mom loves me.
How you like me now? And if you don't know why, it's because of this.
You make us very, very proud, both of you.
Thank you.
And we love you very, very much. Hugs and kisses.
All right. I think we should get out of here, Ted.
Whoa!
I'm playing those drums loud.
God damn, Steve.
Sorry.
Coming in hot.
I came in aggressive.
Hot.
You would too if you got to play drums with Stone Temple Pilots.
Now that would be a mess.
That's the funny part. They have a lot of faith that we know how to play instruments.
Yeah.
Like, they don't know.
I mean, luckily you two are like real musicians. That's what I'm thinking. Like, what if that was just me and Rev and they're like, yeah, get in there, boys.
Right.
Like, all right.
And then... for a great YouTube video.
Yeah.
All right, let's get Ted and get the hell out of here.
Three, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Ooh. Nice.
Yeah. Follow us on Twitter at the Megacast.